Take the Word of God, please. Turn to the book of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. On this Mother's Day, Acts chapter 1. We'll begin our reading in verse number 12. Acts chapter 1, verse number 12. Acts chapter 1, verse 12. The Bible says, "Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went into an upper chamber where abode both Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." I want to lift out that phrase in verse number 14, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary, the mother of Jesus. And I'll preach to you on that thought today. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love you this morning. I pray, God, that you'll help us to serve you from the bottom of our heart. Thank you for your goodness in giving us this day and loving us and giving us salvation when we call upon your name. And I pray that if somebody's here today that does not know you as their Savior, may your Spirit have free course. And I pray that you'll speak to that heart, save them today. And I pray for we who are saved that you'll strengthen our lives, and especially the mothers who are here today, help them to understand the message and help us all to get what's being preached, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's no doubt that one of the greatest privileges given to a married woman is that of having a child. The Word of God plainly teaches in Psalm 127, verse 3, says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." Now, in a world where abortion is running rampant, by the way, abortion is murder, there's no doubt about it, let me proclaim loudly that it is an honor for a wife to become a mother. If the Lord has blessed you to be a mother today, you should have a desire to be the very best mother you can be for the glory of God. Now, in order to help with this desire, the first place a mother should look to be all that she can be for the glory of God is the Word of God. In other words, God's Word plainly teaches some thoughts for mothers and really all Christians about how they can be the best mother and Christian that God has made them to be. Now, while there's so many things that I could preach about on Mother's Day, I have felt the Lord leading me this week in my sermon preparation to His own mother by the name of Mary. As I was studying different portions of Scripture concerning her, there were several thoughts that came out about her and the life that she lived. And let me say this, there are religions who try to deify Mary. And we're not going to deify her. I'm going to prove why here in just a minute, but that doesn't mean we should shy away from honoring her and bringing out some things that we can all learn and put in our own life. Now, what I want to do today is we're just going to do a Bible study on Mary, the mother of Jesus. And I want to bring out these thoughts about what kind of a mother she was. But now let me say this, because obviously when a pastor preaches, he needs to preach to everybody, so understand what I'm getting ready to say. If you're not a mother, that would be Mike and others. I'm just kidding with you, brother. That was hilarious. I'll be honest with you. It'll be a long time before I get over that one. I'll just be honest with you. But I'm not going to tell anybody until I see him. Okay, so anyway. If you're not a mother today, these same thoughts apply to you. In other words, as I was putting this message together and as I think about it now, especially right now, you'll see how these different thoughts that summarized her as a mother applies to me and it applies to you. Because really, it's not just her as a mother, it's her as a Christian. And these things that summarized her life should summarize the life of all of God's children. But specifically, if you're a mother, we're going to apply it there because she was the mother of Jesus. Now, I want to give you several thoughts about Mary, the mother of Jesus today, and just give you some thoughts about her life. What kind of a life did she live? What summarized her? Well, number one, if you'll turn back to the book of Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, we see number one, she was a lady, she was a mother, now get this, number one, who submitted to God's will for her life. She submitted to God's will for her life. Now, I want to show you what I'm talking about. Look at chapter 1 of Luke, verses 35 and following. The Bible says this in Luke 1:35. It says, and the angel answered and said unto her, that's Mary, we see that in verse 34, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Now, what was Mary's response? And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. See, the first thing it summarized her is that she was one who submitted to the will of God for her life. Now, in this text, we see how an angel came to her and announced how the Holy Ghost would come over her and the power of the highest would overshadow her. And she would be the virgin mother of the Son of God. Now, get this. I'm going somewhere with this. Instead of her bucking up against God's will for her life, she simply responded, be it unto me according to thy word. You know what this tells me? This tells me that she submitted to what God told her was His will for her life. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road. Back in this day, it was majorly looked down upon for a lady to have a baby outside of the marriage covenant. And let me say this to you. However, even though it was majorly looked down upon, Mary had the Word of God that gave her the will of God for her life. She submitted to the Lord's will. Now get this now. Even though she would be misrepresented, she would be misunderstood, and she would be judged by mankind, she submitted to the will of God no matter what anybody else thought about it. Can I say something to you? That's how we all ought to treat God's will for our life. It doesn't matter what somebody else thinks about what you're doing with your life. It doesn't matter if somebody thinks you should have done that with your life, or you ought to do that with your life, or I think you missed the boat there. Can I say something to you? If you are doing the will of God, that's all that matters. And we ought to be a person who is submitted to the will of God no matter what others may say. I want to ask you a question, especially if you're a mother. Are you a mother who is submitted to the will of God for your life, no matter what it cost? Now, I want you to think about that statement. Are you more concerned about God's will or your own? If you're a mother, you obviously have a child or children. They may be grown, whatever the case may be, but the fact of the matter is this. Are you listening to me? That means this. You have a decision to make. Are you scared to death that God might call your child as a missionary? Are you scared to death that God might call your baby girl to marry a man someday? By the way, you can tell that I'm kind of talking to myself here too a little bit. I've already told her she can't date until she's 30, I think it is. I'm praying she wants to grow up and marry her daddy. We won't get married, but she can live there as long as she wants. By the way, she knows how to play me like a card. Have y'all know what I'm talking about? Would you raise your hand? She'll come up to me. She did last night. She was getting ready for bed, and she just walked right over to him. I was sitting there on the couch, and she just walked right over to him, crawled up in my lap and just laid her head on my chest. I'm like, she can have anything she wants anytime she wants it. Judson, he's 8 years old. You know, he's thinking he can get along just fine without his daddy now. You know what I mean? Because we smack down all the time, you know, and all this kind of stuff, you know. All this Spider-Man, Batman, and he thinks he's Iron Man and all these other kind of people, you know. And I told him, I said, They don't stand a chance against your daddy, you know, I mean, all this kind of stuff. We have a good time. But I believe I can honestly say before the Lord that I want God's will for my children more than my own will. In our flesh, you want them right there with you all the time, don't you? Can I make a statement? They're not yours. They're God's. God gave them to you. And I'm telling you that the first thing we learn from this precious woman, Mary, the mother of Jesus, we learn that she was a lady, she was a mother, she was a Christian. Just apply it to wherever you are. If you're a mother, apply it as a mother. If you're not a mother, apply it as a Christian. Whatever the case, just apply it to your own life. She submitted to the will of God for her life. 1 John 2:17, the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Number one, she submitted to God's will. Number two, look at chapter 1 of Luke, verse 46 and following. The Bible says, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Now, down through verse number 55, we notice the second thing about her that summarized her life. She not only submitted to God's will, but number two, she magnified the Lord. We see this in verse number 46. She said, Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Now, in this text, we see how Mary took time to magnify the Lord with her lips. You know what the word magnify means? It means to enlarge. It means to make great or to increase. In other words, she was using her words to make the Lord bigger to those she was speaking to. Her words and her life were like a magnifying glass, showing the world around her just who her God really is. Now, I want to ask you a question. When it comes to your words and it comes to your life, your lips and your life, if you will, are you magnifying the Lord or are you minimizing Him? Now, you're doing one or the other. In other words, with the way you talk during the week, notice I say during the week. I'm not asking how you talk while you're in church. I'm asking on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then sometimes on Sunday morning before you get to church, pull in the parking lot. And sometimes on Sunday afternoon as soon as the last amen is done and you're on your way home. And sometimes whenever church is done in the evening and then here it goes and you go right back into it. How do you talk? Do your words magnify the Lord? Do they make Him big? Or do they make Him small? Do you understand what I'm asking you? Your lifestyle, the way you live your life, is it magnifying God or is it minimizing Him? It's one of the two. Are you a mother, obviously on Mother's Day, are you a mother that makes God bigger to those who are around you by the words you use and the life you live? Now, you know, it's interesting that people buck up against a separated life, living a holy life. You know, that's a biblical life, but another thing, the Bible teaches us that we're all ambassadors for Christ, which means that we represent Him. Just like a U.S. ambassador goes overseas, he is taking America with him. He is representing his country. He's representing his sovereign. He's representing you right here in America. And I'll tell you one thing, I would want somebody who's representing me to give the right picture of who I am. I don't want somebody to lie about who I am. I want to give the right picture. And I'm telling you that God has given His name to His children. And He wants you in your words and your actions to make Him bigger to those who are around you. Are you magnifying the Lord? Mary was a mother, a Christian, apply it to wherever you're at, who magnified her Lord. She made Him bigger. Psalm 34, 2 and 3. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Number one, she submitted to God's will for her life. She wanted the will of God, no matter what anybody else thought. Number two, she magnified the Lord. She made him bigger to those who heard her. She made him bigger to those who watched her. Number three, we see in verse number 48 of Luke chapter 1. It says right here, in verse 47, excuse me, "And my soul hath rejoiced in God my Savior." The third thing we notice about Mary is that she rejoiced in God her Savior. I'm just taking some direct quotes here a little bit. She rejoiced in God her Savior. Now, let me ask you a question. If she was deity, why'd she need to be saved? There are some people who will try to teach you that she is deity. She's just like God. She's equal to God. You have to pray to her. You have to intercede to her. Can I say something to you? Right here, she said, "My soul's rejoicing in God, my Savior." You know what that tells me? She was lost. She needed to be saved just like anybody else. And I'm telling you here today that she was a lady who rejoiced in God, her Savior. You know what the word rejoice means? It means to jump for joy. That's what it means. She was excited that she was saved. And I'm going to tell you something. She was a mother who had received God's free gift of salvation, and she was exceeding joyful and jumping for joy that His salvation had come to her. See, she realized she was a sinner, and she knew she needed salvation, and she realized that salvation is only found in God. She received Christ as her Savior. She really did. Let me ask you a question. Are you a mother or are you an individual? I know I keep emphasizing, but just apply it to where you're at. Are you an individual? And if you're a mother, are you a mother who knows Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you trusted Him? Do you know you're going to heaven when you die? If you do not know that, you want me to tell you one of the greatest gifts you could ever receive? It's not one of, it is the greatest gift. It's the gift of God. It's salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, do you know without a doubt today that heaven is your home? No doubt a majority of us here do. That has nothing to do with us. It has to do with God and His work in our life. But let me say this to you. If you know God as your Savior, there are two kinds of people listening to me, those who've been saved and those who are not. There is no in between. It's those who are saved going to heaven, those who are lost going to hell. You fall in one of those two categories. If you are saved going to heaven, we need to learn something from Mary. You know what she did about it? Did she do this? Oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, praise God. Sure, I'm going to heaven. No, you know what she did? I don't feel like doing it, so I'm not going to do it. But if I could, I would. She was jumping for joy. She was rejoicing in her heart and soul that God saved her soul. Let me ask you a question. What does it mean to you if you're saved? You know what's sad? Is how Bible salvation, you get excited about it here, but then halfway into it, it's like, eh. Can I say something to you? You should never get over the fact that you're saved if you're saved. You know what that means? That means you're not going to burn in hell. You know what that means? That means you're going to live with God forever. That means you're going to go to a place and be given a glorified body with no more pain, no more death, no more sorrow, no more troubles, no more sacrifices. I'm telling you, heaven is a wonderful place. You're going to go to a place and walk on a street of transparent gold. You're going to a place that has 12 gates and each gate is a pearl. By the way, I'm telling you, heaven is a wonderful place, and if you're saved, you're going there, and you ought to rejoice about that in your heart. She rejoiced in God her Savior. Psalm 35 verse 9, "And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in His salvation." Psalm 13, 5, "But I have trusted in Thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in Thy salvation." Number one, she submitted to His will. Number two, she magnified the Lord. Number three, she rejoiced in God her Savior. Number four, look at chapter 2, verse 25. The Bible says, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. He came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. The fourth thing we notice about Mary is that she marveled at Christ's testimony. She marveled at Christ's testimony. Now, in this text, what we see is a man, Simeon here, who was just and devout. He took the baby Jesus in his arms, and he began to praise God for seeing his salvation with his own two eyes. Now, can't you imagine what this scene must have been like? Now, when Mary and Joseph heard these words concerning the testimony of Jesus Christ, they marveled. You know what that word marveled means? It means they stood in admiration of it. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you a mother, a Christian, an individual, just apply it, that stands in admiration, in awe, in marvel of who Jesus Christ really is? Are you marveling in the wonderful grace of God that has been extended to all mankind? The Bible says in Psalm 33:8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. She marveled at his testimony. She stood in awe of him. She couldn't get over what she was hearing. You know, it's time that God's children stand in awe of him. You know, we stand in awe of so many things. I'll be honest with you, whenever that storm was blowing through over a week ago now, we were standing out on the front porch and watching some of it. And it was a marvelous thing to watch. I'm talking about just a little display of the power of God and how powerful he is, how marvelous he is, how awesome he is. Let me ask you a question. Do you get more excited over a ball game or over Jesus Christ, who's the Son of God? Do you get more marveled over a food that you like to eat or over the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for your sins? Do you see how we as human beings are so apt to just, if you can't see it, you don't stand in awe of it? But yet the Christian life is a life of faith, isn't it? It's evidence of things not seen. And I'm asking you, are you marveling at his testimony? There's a fifth thing about Mary found in chapter 2, verse 48 and following. That is this. Look at chapter 2, verse 48. When they saw him, they were amazed. Now, this is the story where he had stayed behind in Jerusalem, and Mary, his mother, and Joseph had left, and they thought he was just in the crowd. Then when they started looking for him, they couldn't find him, so they backtracked, and they found him in the temple. Look at verse 48. When they saw him, they were amazed. His mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorry. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? He's just explaining himself. He's not being rebellious. He's just explaining himself. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And when he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, now notice this, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. The fifth thing we notice about Mary is that she kept his sayings in her heart. Now, what's this mean? In this text, we see Mary and Joseph couldn't find Jesus in the company. So they turned back to Jerusalem, They found him there in the temple listening to the doctors, and he was asking the doctors questions. She asked him why he had not gone with them. He responds, why are you seeking me? Don't you know I'm doing my Father's work? Now, again, he's explaining himself. They didn't understand this saying. But Mary kept all these sayings in her heart. This means that she didn't forget them. She heard what he said, and she meditated on it. She thought about it. She chewed it over. She considered these words and did not treat them as unimportant. Now, I think you know what I'm going to say here, don't you? Are you a mother or an individual that keeps the Word of God in your heart? Do you consider the words of God as extremely important? Or do you take them or leave them? We see that Mary was a mother, a Christian, an individual, who heard the sayings of Jesus and she meditated on them. She thought about them. His words were important to her. Job 23:12 says this, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Psalm 1 verse 2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." I'm asking, are you a mother, are you an individual who spends time hearing the word of God and then keeping its sayings in your heart? Now, this is something that we all need to understand, that we need to be reading the Bible, we need to be hearing the Bible, and then we need to be keeping what it says in our heart. We need to meditate upon the Word of God. Then there's a sixth thing that's found in the book of John, chapter 2, if you'll turn to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. We're looking at Mary, the mother of Jesus. What kind of a mother was she? Well, she was one who submitted to God's will for her life. She was one who magnified the Lord with her lips and her life. She was one who rejoiced in God for her salvation. She was one who marveled at who Jesus Christ is. She was one who kept his sayings in her heart and kept chewing on them and meditating on them and thinking about them. They were important to her. Then number six, she was a lady, a mother, who encouraged others to obey the Word of God. We see this in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. I'm not going to read all of it for time's sake. I'm just going to read some of it. This is the story where Jesus, this is his first miracle. And it says in verse number 1 that there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, "They have no wine." Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." His mother saith unto the servant, now notice what she said, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. By the way, this is a side note, this is another message. But if you think that that is alcoholic beverages and that he is encouraging alcoholism and drunkenness and everything else, you don't know squat about the Word of God. Somebody say amen right there, folks. No doubt about it. That's another message for another time. How many of y'all like to hear me preach that message? Would you raise your hand if you'd like to hear that? How many of you could care less? Would you raise your other hand? Sure. Yes. Some of you are going, which one do I raise my hand for? Neither one of them. It doesn't matter. Anyway, what am I saying? Saying this, don't miss the main thought of this passage. You know what it is? He can do anything he wants to do. But when we're talking about the mother of Jesus, the main thought about her is she's encouraging everybody else there, whatever he tells you, do it. How simple is that, folks? I mean, honestly, you know one of the greatest ways you can spend your life? Is encouraging others to do whatever God tells them to do. In other words, you ought to encourage your children, you ought to encourage your spouse, you ought to encourage your Sunday school class, you ought to encourage your friends, you ought to encourage your classmates, just apply wherever you're at. You ought to encourage those in your sphere of influence to obey the Word of God. By the way, don't ever encourage somebody else to obey it if you're not obeying it yourself. That's hypocrisy. She encouraged others to obey the Lord. You know, there are so many people, places, and things that are encouraging others to disobey the Lord. Am I right or wrong? I'm talking about television programs, certain types of music, certain types of people. They'll try to tell you, live your own way, do your own thing. You don't need to submit to God's word. It's an ancient book. It's not even true. All these guys, listen, don't listen to a preacher. Do your own thing. It's time that somebody steps up and says, listen, this is the word of God. And if he tells you to jump, you ask him, how high, Lord, do you want me to jump? If he tells you to run, don't walk, run. If he tells you to walk, don't run, walk. If he tells you to sit down, don't stand up, sit down. It's time we go to the Word of God, we obey what it tells us to do, and then we encourage those who are under our influence, don't do your own thing, obey the Word of God. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. That's great advice from this mother of Jesus. Two more and we'll be done. Are you with me? Amen. I know it may be kind of hard to listen to me. I'm a little stopped up, and I know that. That is just physically, I hope. I hope I'm spiritually not stopped up. You know what I mean? Then there's a seventh thing, and it's found in John chapter 19, verse 25. Let's do this quickly here. John chapter 19, verse number 25. The Bible says in John 19, 25, we see, now there stood by the cross of Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. Again, just look at verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. The seventh thing we notice about her is she watched Christ on the cross. She watched him. She was looking at her own son. Can you imagine? By the way, somebody said this, and I think this is so powerful. One of the greatest proofs that Jesus is who he said he is Mary. One of the greatest proofs that Jesus is the Son of God and that he is salvation is his mother Mary. Because she stood at the cross and saw him and said nothing. Are you listening to me? If he was a fake, she would have saved her boy's life just like any other mother would have, folks. But she kept her mouth closed. Let me tell you why. Because she knew this is God's salvation. Powerful thought right there. And I'm telling you that she watched him on the cross. Can you just imagine what she must have been going through? Just imagine. However, I dare say, that the scene that she saw that day, she probably never got over it. More than likely, she took that scene to the grave with her. Here's what I'm saying. There's no doubt that one could not get over watching the very Son of God die for their sins. I'm asking you, have you stopped and have you considered Calvary recently? Have you stopped, gone back to the cross, and watched him there? Can I say something to you? The next time you feel your heart getting cold, go back to Calvary. The next time you feel your heart getting callous, go back to the cross and watch him hanging there for you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Then there's an eighth thing here, and it's found in our text in Acts chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. Verse number 14. The eighth thing about her life, we find it in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Do you see it? These disciples, those that's brought out in verse number 13, they are continuing in prayer and supplication. But in that same room is Mary, the mother of Jesus. The eighth thing we see about her life is that she continued in prayer and supplication.
We see that this is the last time that Mary is mentioned in the New Testament. She's mentioned no more after this. And it's fitting that the last time she's mentioned, she's not standing at the cross. She's in this room praying to God. There's a great thought here. And that tells us this: she also knew he was alive and doing well. Amen. And we say right here that this word she continued in prayer, that word means to be constantly diligent in. In other words, they were constantly being diligent in offering their prayers and supplication. She was a woman of prayers, what I'm trying to say. She's not only a woman of his words and marveling at his words and meditating on his words and keeping his words, but she was one who prayed. I wonder, are you a mother of prayer? Are you a mother who gets a hold of God? Is God constantly hearing your prayers and supplications? Is your prayer closet constantly filled with your presence? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer. Luke 18:1, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, there's no doubt that all mothers and even all Christians can learn some great lessons from the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus. We all need to pray that what summarized her life will summarize ours. What was it? Here it is. Number one, she submitted to the will of God. Whatever it is, she was going to do it. Number two, she magnified the Lord with her lips and with her life. Number three, she rejoiced in God that she was saved. Number four, she marveled at who Jesus Christ is. Number five, she heard his word and she kept it in her heart. Number six, she encouraged others to obey the word of God. Number seven, she watched Christ on the cross and she probably never got over it. And number eight, she continued constantly in prayer and supplication. And I ask you this question, I'm closing. Are you ready for it? Here it is. When you consider those eight things about the life of Mary, are those eight things also your life? If they're not, you can start today. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Our Father, we love you. I pray you'll help us today to draw the net. I pray for the mothers who are here. God bless them, help them, encourage them. And I pray for this message as it's been given. I pray, our Lord, that you'll help us all, help me to include these thoughts in my life. Help those who are here to include it in their lives. May the will of God be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. The first thing I want to start with is what I feel is the most important thing. That is this. Mary was a mother who knew the Lord as her Savior. She said, my soul rejoiceth in God my Savior. She had God as her Savior. Do you know the Lord? Have you trusted Christ? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Do you know without a doubt that if you died today, or if Jesus Christ came back to this earth today, do you know without a doubt that heaven is your home? If you know without a doubt that heaven is your home, you're not hoping so, you're not thinking so, you know so. You are a born-again child of God. You're not worried about it. You know you're saved. No doubt about it. You are born again. You're a Christian. You're a child of God. You're trusting Christ and Christ alone. And you know that decision has already happened in your life. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You know that. There's no doubt. Thank you. You can put your hands down. There may be somebody here today that could not raise your hand to that question. If that's you, thank you for being honest. Matter of fact, is there one today, say, Jody, I could not raise my hand in honesty to that question? Please understand, I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come to your seat. But you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I need to be sure that I'm a Christian. I want to know God is my Savior. I want to know that I'm not going to burn in hell forever. I want to know that I'm going to go and live with God for all eternity. And you say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm really not sure. Or maybe you know you're lost. Be an honest person. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine, please? Anybody at all like that? You say, Jody, pray for me. I need to be sure I'm a Christian. I want to know that I'm saved. Anybody at all? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Let me ask you this question. When you consider Mary, now I'm not asking specifically like, you know, keeping his words in your heart, or I'm not going to go down through the seven other points, but I simply want to ask you this question. Would the Word of God say the same thing about you that it said about Mary? Would it say that you are standing at the cross and beholding Christ dying for your sin? Would it say that you are submitted to the will of God for all eternity? Would it say that you are continuing in prayer and supplication? Would it say that you are encouraging others to obey God? Would it say that your life and your words are magnifying Jesus? Would it say that you're keeping His word in your heart? Would it say that you're marveling at who Christ is? Either it would or it wouldn't. Let me be honest and say, Jody, there's some of those things that I need to work on. Be honest. Raise your hand in the air. You say, there's some of those things I need. Yes. God's going to help you. The Lord's going to help you. Just a moment, we're going to stand and pray. And as we pray, if God is speaking to your heart, I want to invite you to come. Have you a mother and you say, Jody, God is speaking to me. I'm a mother. God is speaking to me. I want to be like Mary. Be honest. Raise your hand in the air. You say, Jody, I'm a mother. I want to be like Mary. God bless you. Let's all stand, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Father, take these simple thoughts and use them. Bless them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is dealing with you, leave your place and come. Some have already responded. You respond as He sings. You come on. Come on now.
Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
He's singing on. There's time for you. Come on.
Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord. Wash me just now, as in Thy presence humbly I bow.
They're playing through. You can look this way. We're dealing with some folks. Thank the Lord for those who have responded. Tonight's service at 6:30. I hope you'll be here. A special singing group from Crown College coming through. They're raising some money to go out of the country to travel around. And I want to help them, and they're supposed to be here. Pre-service prayer meeting at 6 o'clock. And reminds you about Saturday evening, 6 o'clock, if you'll stop right where you're at and pray for 30 minutes about the big day next week. And I trust many of you will be working hard to bring somebody with you next week. And we'll be preaching the gospel. Those of you mothers who won these things up here, I want you to come and get those after the service. Those visiting with us, if you'll remember to take your card out to the lobby, to the Welcome Center, you can take care of that after the service. This is Sandra Dockery. If you wouldn't mind us stand, Miss Dockery. You have been saved and you have been scripturally immersed, correct? Good. And she is desiring to join our church by statement. We're glad to have you. God bless you. It's good to see the ranks growing around here, you know. Praise the Lord for it. What's the pleasure of the church in this, that we receive Miss Dockery? She has been saved. She has been scripturally baptized. We receive her into the membership of our church by statement. What's the pleasure of the church? Could I have a motion that we receive her? Brother Jack first, Brother Bob second. All in favor say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry. I have one more here and we'll be on our way. Good. I appreciate you praying for me. I'm not quite 100%. Maybe y'all can tell that. Would you raise your hand? You can tell that. Yes, I know you're not, because you're not jumping around the pulpit like you typically do. I'm not quite 100%, but I'm getting there, and so on. So hopefully by next week, my voice will be a little bit easier to listen to, okay? I know what you're thinking. It's never easy to listen to, but I appreciate your prayers. Amen. Good. This is Karen Smith. You're standing there with my favorite lady in all the church. That's my wife, by the way, folks. And we're happy for you about this. She's coming today. She wants to rededicate her life to Christ. I'm glad the Lord's a God of second chances, you know, and third, and fourth, and fifth, and sixth. Can I get an amen there? And sixth, and seventh, and eighth, and ninth, and tenth chances. Boy, if he wasn't, we're all in bad shape, you know. Lord has something great for you. Just talk to your boy this week. He has something great for you. Jump in here, you know. You know we love you, don't you? If you don't know that, you've got mental problems by now, don't you? We love you, care for you. Yeah, yeah. Amen, amen. It's good to have a loving church family. Praise the Lord. We're happy for you. I'm so thrilled for you. We're here to help you any way we can, okay? Have you feel the same way about it? Will you say amen? Wonderful. Praise the Lord for it. Amen. Brother Butch Abbott, sir, God bless you. Glad you and your family are here with us. I'm going to ask you to dismiss us in prayer, okay? God bless you, folks. Hope to see you tonight.